WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Officials in North Dakota say at least three people were killed overnight in Cass County as severe weather, including reported tornadoes, moved through the area. Tens of millions of people are facing a different kind of severe weather beginning today. That's extreme heat, says ABC meteorologist Lee Goldberg.
We're seeing potential record highs in Minneapolis, St. Louis. By Sunday, it's in Chicago, and then that heat gets into the Northeast. By the time we get into Sunday and Monday, it feels like 108 in D.C., 107 in New York. We haven't hit 100 degrees in New York since 2012.
An Israeli military official says Israel's killed three Iranian generals over the last day and that there is no timeline for fighting, but says, quote, we have goals and we won't stop until we reach them. President Trump disputed U.S. intelligence, saying Iran's not close to completing a nuclear weapon. He'll meet with his national security team this evening. And Kroger announced it will close 60 locations in the next 18 months. This is ABC News. Rhode Island's become the 10th state. Rhode Island may join 11 other states in banning assault weapons after the Democratic State House voted to ban semi-automatic weapons or assault-style rifles. The governor says he plans to sign the bill into law. Law enforcement around the country is warning people to be alert for phone scams. Police in Oakland County, Michigan, are reporting a rise in phone scammers, telling people they did not appear for jury duty and must pay a penalty. Sheriff Michael Bouchard says they're demanding people to show up with thousands of dollars in cash. He says the department will never call to ask for money and that another giveaway.
But the common thread is they're always pushing for immediate action. They want money right away.
Graduation season's coming to a conclusion. One New York high school's doubling down as Sunday's graduation at Long Island's Plainview Old Bethpage High School boasts 15 sets of twins out of nearly 500 graduates. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm Catherine Lake, station manager of WMDX, and here is my plea to you, dear listener. Whether you love them or hate them, please vote John and Gordy Best Radio Team in Madison Magazine's Best of Madison poll. The link is right there on our homepage, WMDXradio.com. And I say this not because they're paying me. They are. But the point is this. They may actually not be the best, but you can find a lot worse on your radio dial. Am I right? I mean, really, have you heard some of the crap that's out there at this hour? Boring, insipid. Who wants to hear that first thing in the morning? At least John and Gordy give you accurate weather information, and Peterson seems to be relatively informed. They show up for the Madison Night Market. That's not easy when you're getting up at 4 a.m. They tell you about pets available at the Humane Society. Oh, and poor Dominic. He didn't know what he was getting into, but let's put a vote in for John and Gordy and Dominic Lee. Do it for Dominic. WMDXradio.com.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shelley Pittman. Efforts to make communities across Wisconsin more livable will soon be underway in 8 communities across the state. Past initiatives of the AARP Wisconsin's Community Challenge Funds have helped to change citywide policies. For more, here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
11 grantees collectively received more than $100,000 in funds to implement quick action projects this year through AARP Wisconsin's Community Challenge. Jennifer Stefani with Creative Downtown Appleton Incorporated is a past recipient and used the funds to install a seasonal parklet or mobile patio in an area that lacked these amenities. She says the aluminum parklet is handicap accessible, includes 3 tables and 6 chairs with planters and herbs for public use.
So it's rosemary and basil, and we have some kale in there. We take care of watering it throughout the summer, and residents can just come down and pick the fresh herbs.
Stefani worked with the city of Appleton to develop a citywide policy for parklets. She says the grant funds were instrumental given the funding constraints that organizations like hers face. Darren Wasniewski with AARP Wisconsin notes the funds are designed to improve quality and accessibility for residents of all ages and abilities. He says these projects often spark community interest in similar initiatives to meet local needs.
Not all of our grantees need to go on and change city policy, but it's always great when they can be used as that catalyst to have these public discussions about, is there something that we can change to make the community livable for all?
Some of this year's AARP-funded projects include handicap accessibility improvements, home repairs for seniors, digital access and literacy expansion, and housing alternatives. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shally Pittman.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Heat advisory in effect for today. Highs near 95 degrees. Heat index feels like 105. Southwest winds up to 35 miles per hour. Tonight, clear and breezy. We only drop to 78 degrees. Another hot one tomorrow, 95.
Currently, 75 degrees.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll talk to Abby Abramovich from Dundrin's Distilling.
And don't forget to join the John and Gordy Zip Tie Brigade.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome to the show. Oh my goodness. I'm so glad you're here. We got a good one for you. If you like it, you want to share it, you want to, I don't know, tell your friends all about it, which I don't blame you. This episode, along with every other ones, are available everywhere you get your podcasts on civicmedia.us. Come hang out with us as many times as you want. And because today we are hanging out with the 43rd Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin, J.B. Van Hollen. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, we were just talking about dressing casual. You're retired. You're that's up in the North Woods, hanging out. How's life?
You know, life's pretty good. Spent a lot of time outdoors, out in the woods. Basically as far from the mainstream as I can get, and that's kind of a refreshing change from a lot of my past.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, you were. Quite a consequential attorney general that we had. You've done some awesome stuff. I think most notably, it eliminated that big backlog that we had, and you had a lot of success in your time in office. I don't know if you know about my background, but I was a chairman of Brown County Republican Party. I've since left the party because I'm not a big Trump guy. I was the chairman of the organization when you were attorney general, and we got to hang out a little bit. I'm glad we're full circle here. And I know the reason you're here is your work with the Democracy Defense Project. Do you mind talking about that a little bit?
Sure. I've been in my, I guess, retirement, you would call it. I've been a little picky about the things that I'm still involved in. But one of the things, obviously, that I've always strongly believed in, even through my actions in campaigning and running for attorney general and being attorney general, was the sanctity of our electoral process. Yeah. And the significance and importance of it. And trying to make sure that people had faith and confidence in our electoral process and in our government. So since then I've been involved in a number of different organizations. Currently, it's the DDP, or Democracy Defense Project, which is one in a line of my past involvement of bipartisan projects to try to convince the electorate in the sanctity, importance, and validity of our election process. We all know that there are certain hiccups in everything in life. Yeah. Certainly there are in our elections processes as well, but not as bad as I think the general public may believe or have believed, and not as bad as many elected officials want us to believe. And when you have, I think, two pretty extremely different political officials, such as myself and former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and another one on each party, who are willing to team up and march in step and agree on the issues like this, I think it really has the opportunity to send a message.
Yeah, I know a lot of, if we had like a theme or a slogan here on the show, I always talk about that this show is not about left versus right, it's about right versus wrong. And it's interesting how you know, when I left my role with the Republican Party and then I became a nonpartisan, I was a county supervisor and then I did some other stuff. It's interesting when you get away from the partisan politics, how you kind of can take a step back and be like, wow, that's dumb. You know, your perspective can kind of open up a little bit. And I know you've always been a bipartisan guy, but it's cool to see. I mean, I think when you were Attorney General, Mike Tate was the Democratic state chair, right?
He was.
Yeah. How many times did you go back and forth with him? And here you are, yeah. You know?
Since then, this is the second time I've teamed up with him on a voter integrity program. So we have similar views on something that matters. And when it comes to bipartisan, it's interesting to note, I think people in the past, some in both parties, have felt that I was not a staunch conservative because I was bipartisan. Yeah. And I think they're completely different categories. When it comes to Republican principles and philosophy, you can't get any more conservative than I am. But bipartisanship means that there are things we can agree on and work across the aisles on, and we can't let partisanship get in the way of succeeding in those areas. And I think voter integrity is one of those areas.
Yeah. So what? Why now? Why is now the time that you kind of picked this up and with the democracy? I mean, you've done this in the past, but why do this now with...
Yeah, I'm doing this now because I think it has really risen to the fore. I have seen people who are just screaming that our elections have no validity, and yet they really don't know why they're screaming that. And some of them, when they can set out reasons, are setting out reasons that are invalid. For instance, in some polling that we just did in the Democracy Defense Program, there are people who think we need voter ID to vote. Well, we do have voter ID to vote. We've had it for quite some time. So there are people who have concerns about our process that aren't legitimate or even close to legitimate. And then there are other people, for instance, Republicans, who think that elections get stolen because of a massive ballot dump in Milwaukee on election night that happens every electoral cycle. Well, the reality is these aren't votes that are getting dumped in. These are the Milwaukee election officials who are following Wisconsin law that prohibits them from opening absentee ballots or counting early votes before the beginning of election day. So they can't get those tallies until late on election day or even later than that. So there's a lot of misinformation out there, and we want to make sure people are educated. We also want to make sure that if we can collect information and in a bipartisan manner, approach the legislature and the governor and get them to implement changes that make our elections safer and more secure and give our people more confidence in the system, that by all means, let's do that.
Right. You know, it's interesting. Like I remember in when I was chair, the Democrats would always talk about, you know, these countries of, you know, liberal bastions of like, oh, like Denmark and all this. But those countries have voter IDs as well, you know, and so I think there's it's not about left versus right. It's right versus wrong. There is a place, I think, where you can say we need to count ballots ahead of time. We need to allow for bigger access for people to drop their ballots off. That is a thing. We need to, you know, voter ID is not the evil empire. That is okay. And we need to have these real discussions with people. And I think this is important because I think a lot of our political discourse begins and ends with this topic. You know, Republicans think Democrats are cheating. Democrats think Republicans are cheating. You know, and I think that's important. Describe your involvement in the proposal. You know, how did this come up with the Democracy Defense Project?
Well, their Democracy Defense Project is spanning a number of swing states, I would say. Mm-hmm. I think there are eight of us states that are involved with former officials from both political parties who are the co-chairs or the board members in each of those states. And I believe out of the states, I'm the only former attorney general. There's awfully great number of former governors from both political parties involved in the other states. They really, I think, tried to find the more high-profile people in each state who would agree to the principles of the Democracy Defense Project, which I certainly do, and the other members of my board. And we haven't mentioned the fourth one, which is former Congressman Scott Klug, yep. who's the other Republican on yep. the panel or on the board. And it's something that we strongly believe in, all of us, and are willing to commit some time and energies to, and that's why we agreed to get involved.
What challenges do you think that this would face? If we talk about this as in the idea that counting ballots ahead of time should be okay, what challenges do you think we got?
Well, I think, and from what I've heard, the biggest challenge that we face is people who believe that we're going to have results that come out before everybody has voted yet. And therefore, right. people are going to think, okay, my candidate's already won or lost or is going to right. win or lose. Therefore, I shouldn't vote because I've heard these results. The proposal that we have out there is nothing of the sort. It has to do with simple things like taking in Milwaukee County, and this would happen statewide, but taking in Milwaukee County the 100,000 absentee ballots, yeah. and the day before Election Day, at least taking them out of the envelopes, being able to put them in a pile, you know, separating piles, not counting the votes or tabulating them yet, so nobody will have advance notice of how people voted. But you can get half of the work done, or even more, the labor done the day beforehand. There's really no good argument why that should be prohibited.
Right.
You know, some people may think, well, then there's going to be people who can tamper with those ballots. Our election and polling places have bipartisan election workers. They have yeah. equal number of election workers from both political parties. They have election observers. Just about anybody can show up and watch and see what's going on. You know, the allegations, I think, are woefully, to the degree that they exist, are woefully misplaced and unfair if people attack our election workers. They work very hard. Yeah. They're very committed. And we want to make sure that they have a better ability to do their job.
We're talking with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen. I that was a huge function of what we did as a chairman of the political parties is because mm-hmm. what we did was we supplied the list of poll watchers, and in Brown County, God, it was dozens of polling sites. So that was a lot of work trying to get someone there all the time. Where if you're taking off your left versus right, where are these accusations coming from? You're smiling, you know, I see.
yeah, and unfortunately, I think most of them do come from the right. And it's a recency bias as well. Yep. There have been non-elected officials from both sides of the political aisle who have screamed about stolen elections in the past. It's not yep. just President Trump. It was Secretary Clinton.
Yep.
You know, she did so as well. But
I don't think Stacey Abrams has conceded to Brian Kemp yet. No. You know, yeah. I mean, it's
recently people think of President Trump because he talked about it for so long and so loudly, and so did many of his most ardent followers. And so those are concerns that we kind of have to overcome.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think, it's interesting. There were some times where we would have one of my favorite things to do as chairman was find whoever was a very big election denier, you know, this is misinformation, and put them as a poll watcher, and then talk mm-hmm. to them afterwards. And they were, boy, that's really, it is. That's a good system they've got, you know? And
well, it's an interesting thing that we did as DDP. We went out in the field with a poll before the presidential election, and we went out in the field with another poll after the presidential election. In the Supreme Court election in Wisconsin. And there really is a recency bias and a bias as to whose candidate won as to what sure. people think. You know, far fewer Republicans think there's electoral process problems since President Trump got elected. And suddenly there are more Democrats who do.
Yep.
The ones who are saying, oh, no, we have a very, very valid process and everything worked out as it should. Suddenly when President Trump gets elected, it's not working right anymore. So...
Yeah.
People are obviously disappointed when it comes to politics. There's reasons why in many circles you don't discuss politics and religion. They're very divisive issues, and people are very emotional about them, and usually rational, but sometimes not.
Right. Yeah. We're I think that's totally right. And we're going to talk about that on the other side, because, you know, election integrity and public trust is something that we have to really work towards to get back. Because I think once we have that, I think our political discourse can really improve here. We're talking with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen here on The Rational Revolution. Stick around. We'll talk about that just a bit.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
At Straight Talk, we are all about no-brainers. Calling grandma for her recipe. No-brainer. Streaming one more episode at 2 a.m. Big no-brainer. Getting real unlimited data where you buy bananas. The ultimate no-brainer. Switch now and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2025 with select plans. Straight Talk. Real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. Offer valid through 7/2025. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation of single line gold unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com/terms. Copyright 2025 Verizon.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
We're back. We've got 43rd Attorney General for the state of Wisconsin, J.B. Van Hollen, on the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We're talking about election integrity. We're talking about the Democracy Defense Project that you've been involved with, which is actually pretty freaking cool. So I think that's really awesome what you're doing. And we're talking about election integrity and public trust. In your view, how does the counting of absentee ballots ahead of time, or at least working on them, contribute to the overall security of the integrity of the elections?
You know, I don't think it really contributes to the security and integrity at all. What it contributes to is the confidence that the voters have in the system. It's really, I think, the idea of doing a few things like tabulating the ballots and opening them and organizing them and validating them and things like that ahead of time. What it really does is allows us to have election results in a more timely fashion on election day. And then people who are concerned that votes are being thrown in that aren't legitimate late on election day or after the polls close, it helps alleviate those concerns because it would show that they don't exist. We've got a result before that occurred or could have occurred.
Yeah, and that makes sense. When you are doing this work, did you kind of really nail down, you know, what are the reasons for the delays? Like in Milwaukee, it's like you talked about the opening of the ballots. In Green Bay, it's I don't know, because you know, did you go into that deep of a dive to see what is the delay and what is the root cause of it?
Well, the nice thing is, because this is a multi-state program, we've got the benefit of having the input from people like myself from other states. We've got political teams that basically are running these in every state. And we have very experienced people from different perspectives on both sides of the political aisle on this board in Wisconsin, who basically have heard from a lot of their constituents or former constituents, and also know from past practices and from watching the media what people's concerns are and what concerns we might have in the system. So we're able to tap into all of that information and come up with things that we think can or should change. And then, of course, we've gone into the field in Wisconsin with polling twice now. And so we get the input from the general public as to what their concerns are as well. And I don't know if I have the number right, but I think a full like 79% of the people that we polled are thinking that we should have uniformity and rule for drop boxes. Yep. We have 70 some percent who are believing that we should be able to do something with the absentee ballots and early votes sooner so that we can have quicker results. And that's a majority of people who are independents, Republicans, and Democrats.
Right.
That's very good information to have, because those are the people we're trying to reach. Those are the people we're trying to convince that we have a valid electoral system.
Now, you know these people. I know these. I don't want to throw anyone under the bus that we both know, but why has it been so difficult to get these common sense things passed?
You know, unfortunately, I think lately we have become a more partisan house than we have in the recent past. And by house, I mean that in general terms. Mm-hmm. I think we have people who in both political parties who are afraid to veer from their party line. Yeah. There's not as much bipartisanship. So if President Trump says that an election was stolen, suddenly you're not a Republican if you don't agree that right. An election was stolen. And that's unfortunate. And the same can be on the other side with Democrats. If the party line is that, no, we have safe and secure elections, there's no voter fraud whatsoever, then you're not a Democrat if you get out there and say, no, I think there is some voter fraud. So I think that is the biggest problem that we have now. So if we can get out there, show some valid polling data, and help sway some of the leadership in both parties to say, no, this is stuff that's going to help both parties if you can actually agree on it, I think we have a win-win situation.
Do you think is 'cause, and I don't know if this is perception or if this is actually what it is, but cities like, I mean, here in Green Bay where we record this, Milwaukee, it's slow to get our results. But then in Madison, those results, like, relatively speaking, happen pretty quick. Is it different processes? Is it like Madison will trickle in, whereas Green Bay does, okay, here's what it is, boom, Madison and Milwaukee does the same? What is that?
Yeah, I think some of it is different processes, just different people involved and methodologies. Uniformity of that is something that we're pushing for real hard, and in every way, but we can't change everything overnight.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we've discussed a lot as an organization is uniformity of ballot drop boxes, because they're novel. And it was, Democrats were pretty strongly in favor of them. Republicans pretty strongly opposed to them. The reality is they've been found legitimate, legal, permissible. So then our concerns are, okay, well, we shouldn't have ballot drop boxes in Green Bay, but not in Eau Claire.
Right.
And we shouldn't leave it up to the municipalities whether to have them or not, because then it's easier for some people to drop off their ballots in one place than it is in another. And maybe that's a Democrat or Republican area versus the other. We want to make sure that they're secure, which means we need more universal rules that are governing them. So ballot drop boxes are likely here to stay. So this shouldn't be a partisan debate over whether we're in favor of them or opposed to them. It should be a bipartisan agreement that we need to have uniform rules that govern them. And when we do that, then you're, at least in that one category, you're not going to have differences in Green Bay or Madison or Milwaukee. And you just got to take one bite of the apple at a time.
Yeah, we're talking with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen. We're going to, on the other end of the break, we're going to talk about, you know, the election denialism. I want to hear your advice for policymakers coming up here in Wisconsin and other states, too, because this is so important. And I'm really glad, like I said, we're talking with Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, you know, that you're doing something. This is exciting. This is great. So stick around here in the Rational Revolution. We'll be right back.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Officials in North Dakota say at least three people were killed overnight in Cass County as severe weather, including reported tornadoes, moved through the area. Tens of millions of people are facing a different kind of severe weather beginning today. That's extreme heat, says ABC meteorologist Lee Goldberg.
We're seeing potential record highs in Minneapolis, St. Louis. By Sunday, it's in Chicago, and then that heat gets into the Northeast. By the time we get into Sunday and Monday, it feels like 108 in D.C., 107 in New York. We haven't hit 100 degrees in New York since 2012.
An Israeli military official says Israel's killed three Iranian generals over the last day and that there is no timeline for fighting, but says, quote, we have goals and we won't stop until we reach them. President Trump disputed U.S. intelligence, saying Iran's not close to completing a nuclear weapon. He'll meet with his national security team this evening. And Kroger announced it will close 60 locations in the next 18 months. This is ABC News.
Baseball in the Twin Cities. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game two of the Brewers series this weekend against the Twins going on today. Last night, the Brewers win was one for the record books. Milwaukee winning by a final score of 17-6 over Minnesota. 23-year-old Jacob Mizorowski, they call him the Miz, in only his second start in the major leagues, pitched a perfect game, a no-hitter, until the seventh inning when the first hit of the game from the Twins was a two-run homer. Mizorowski asked, did it feel like a special night?
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. I mean, coming out and hearing the crowd cheering like that on a road series, it's exciting. It's awesome.
Did you feel any different emotionally or just how you were able to manage the day and your stuff once you were out there?
I think honestly I felt calmer and ready to go compared to the first one. You know, nerves were going pretty heavy on the first one, so it's good to finally feel the feet under you.
Again, the final from last night, 17-6 in favor of the Brewers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Believe it or not, Hollywood is making a sequel. In this case, it is the fourth in a series of Meet the Parents films. The Hollywood Reporter says Owen Wilson has officially signed on to the project, joining Ben Stiller, Robert De Niro, Terry Polo, and newcomer to the cast, Ariana Grande. It's always nice to have a fresh face. Paramount Pictures is teaming up with Universal for the latest installment, which is co-written by John Hamburg, who also co-wrote the previous three films and will direct this new chapter. If you listen to Nightlight here on the Civic Media Radio Network, you've probably heard me talk about this franchise quite a bit, as it was started by frequent guest and writer Greg Liana, whose $50,000 independent film ended up at Universal Studios and is now one of the highest-grossing live-action comedy franchises ever. Meet the Parents is expected to hit theaters Thanksgiving of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Heat advisory in effect for today. Highs near 95 degrees. Heat index feels like 105. Southwest winds up to 35 miles per hour. Tonight, clear and breezy. We only drop to 78 degrees. Another hot one tomorrow, 95.
Currently, 75 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, the John and Gordy Show.
Mike McCabe joins us, by the way.
Yes, Mike, you know about the Savannah Bananas.
Yeah.
The announcer calls them the Nanners.
They have all kinds of antics.
They have bright yellow uniforms.
Yes, they do.
And they do performance dances at home base.
Or the in the
players
field.
Are out there like cheerleaders.
Yeah. And even the umpires get involved.
Yeah, they do.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
LGBTQ rights are under attack. At 4:30, Patrick Faribault from Our Lives magazine joins to discuss what's at stake and how we celebrate pride right here in Wisconsin. Don't miss the Maggie Dawn Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. I'm so glad you're here. If you like the discussion, join the discussion. Download the Civic Media app today. You can select your favorite station, text into the show. I'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you. Come hang out. Come hang out with me and hang out with the 43rd Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin, J.B. Van Hollen. He's been gracious with his time today. We got one more segment here. This is the last one with him. This is fascinating to me because when I was a member of the party and in, you know, relative party leadership, we talked about this was huge. This was a very, very large topic. And I think there's some legitimacy. There's a lot of illegitimacy. But I think so much of it comes down to misinformation. And, you know, what you're doing to combat that is really remarkable. But also, I think there media plays a pretty big role in spreading some of that, too. What do you think of you know, what role do they play in shaping the perceptions of this topic of election integrity?
Well, they just repeat what people say on both sides of the aisle, which obviously spreads that misinformation. I mean, it's the only avenue for that to be done other than word of mouth, which is why we're trying to utilize your good services and other media right now to try to reverse that trend. You know, it's the bottom line is you can go back to the time of trying to pass photo ID for voting in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Obviously, the pluses and minuses of it that were played up by both sides really got eaten up by both sides because they were heralded in the media. I really think that there would have been some Republicans who were opposed to photo ID and some Democrats in favor of it who weren't. Had they not been basically told by the media that their party line was the opposite.
That's exactly right. And that's, you know, I touched on that in the previous segment, you know, like the liberal bastions of we should be more like XYZ, Norway. Well, they've got photo ID to vote. So, you know, it's having this frank discussion of like not one side is completely wrong. The other side is not completely wrong. There are, you know, nuggets of validity in each one of those sides. I think what has become really dangerous is the normalization of these false claims. You know, I remember when I was chair and they were talking about Barack Obama, and there's Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh talking about, you know, tens of thousands of false votes and all this stuff. And that was like, oh, he's crazy. He's nuts. Just whatever. We know. Well, now that dude's president of the United States.
Yeah. Well, there has been a change in times, too. I was a huge proponent of photo ID for voting when I was attorney general. And I was a huge proponent for a very good reasons. First of all, I thought the negatives were tiny compared to the potential positives. I also was able to see firsthand, quite frankly, the number of fraudulent votes there were. There was significant voter fraud before we had photo ID.
Talk about
that. I was able to see that. I was able to see that because we were able to get lists of addresses that people supposedly voted from, and those addresses didn't exist.
Oh, wow.
And those lists were very large in number. Well, those sort of things can be mostly eliminated by photo ID because you have to have a legitimate government ID to show who you are. This is you, and you voted from that address. So that's why I thought photo ID was so tremendously important. I'm still a believer that there is voter fraud. I know there is voter fraud because I've seen examples of it out there, but they're very, very small compared to, I think, what we had before voter ID. So I don't illegitimize the claims of voter fraud. I just say that right now it has been reduced. The areas that we're talking about aren't about voter fraud. They're about voter confidence. And one other thing that I've said a lot, but I haven't said today that it's important. I'm not saying that there aren't any votes that are cast that shouldn't be. What I'm saying is if your vote is cast, it will be counted.
Yeah.
All that I've seen of voter fraud or alleged voter fraud has to do with votes being cast that weren't entitled to be cast. It wasn't that you cast your vote and it got thrown away or lost. So when we have people on both sides of the aisle saying our system is flawed, you have people saying, well, the system's flawed. It doesn't work. Why should I bother going out to vote? Well, because your vote still does count. And the best way to fix a flawed system or to counteract what little voter fraud may still exist is to get your legitimate vote in there for your side or what you believe in.
Yeah. And I totally agree. And I do think that, and I've been on record myself saying that I do agree and I believe that voter ID is a big deal. It is. And I think that has done a lot to legitimize our elections to the point where, I mean, there's studies and papers and all of that to say that, you know, yes, there is fraud today, but the fraud that's there is not enough to really sway an election because it is so minuscule. And it is, you know, it's because of some of the initiatives that have been put out there. And that's good. I mean, that's the whole point, right? We need to make it easy for people to vote, but we need to make it easy for people who can vote to vote, right?
Correct. Yep. We need to make it easy for legitimate voters to cast their ballot, for it to be counted, for it to be counted timely. And a big part about us now, DDP, is educating the voters that that is going to occur.
Yeah. And it's frustrating, you know, when we would see, you know, people in Wisconsin, oh, there's dead persons voting. It's like, okay, they voted absentee and they died with the election. Like, it's still, I mean, it's a, people can vote. This is the thing.
Our system is always going to be slightly flawed.
Right.
It's not going to be perfect. It can't be. Very few things in the world can be. However, we're trying to make it as accurate and reliable as we possibly can.
So you do still consider yourself a Republican, right?
Lock, stock, and barrel.
Okay, right. So, and what I refer to Republicans are like a Trump Republican or like a Rob Coles Republican. You know what I mean? And where is the party today?
Well, both parties have gone a little extreme in their different ways. Not necessarily that the elected officials are extreme in their views, but that because of the partisanship, maybe in leadership or in the general public, they feel kind of obligated or pressured to go one way or the other. I've seen even in my days in office where I would have a Democrat elected official who would agree with me on something, and they'd primary him out of office or primary her out of office because they voted with a Republican. And it's gone both ways. And that's unfortunate because we don't need a bunch of clones on one side or the other. We need a variety of opinions.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I know when I was in the party, and I'm sure, you know, you were at a way higher level than I am, but, you know, and not just agreeing with you on a position, but how many times were you out to dinner and someone's like, man, I really do agree with you, but you know I can't. I can't. Right? How many times did that happen?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a common occurrence. You know, it's part of our party system. It has been an existent part of our party system from shortly after the formation of our country.
Right.
So it's not a new thing, but it basically has ebbed and tied. You know, that's had ebbs and tides over the years. And it's been more significant at some times and, you know, less significant at others.
So we're talking with Attorney General, former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen. In 2008, you sued the Government Accountability Office to force the office to check the voter registrations for accuracy. And you said the motivation was illegal votes could sway the result of the election. Where are we since then?
You know, obviously they still can. You have places where there's elections that are decided by one vote, in which case one or two votes can swing the legitimacy of elections. So obviously it can still occur. On a large scale, I don't believe we're going to swing elections with a legitimate vote, with illegitimate votes. I think that voter ID has done a tremendous amount to correct that. You know, once again, there's jurisdictions where 18 people have voter photo IDs from a one-bedroom apartment. you know, there are ways that you can still, you know, get around the system. You can have students who are residents of Minnesota but go to school in Wisconsin who can get away with voting in both places. There are, you know, there are things that can and will occur, but they've been reduced considerably, and they don't reduce the validity of your vote. Once again, those are people casting ballots in a location where they're not entitled to. They're not the individual citizen of Wisconsin's vote not being counted when they cast it.
So I think you have such a unique perspective and on this. And I have my opinions on where the party is, but as the state of the Republican Party, I would love to know, you know, where are they? I mean, you know, recent elections like the state Supreme Court race have raised some questions about where the direction of the party is. And then there's some divides that happened here in Northeast Wisconsin and with some grassroots members expressing some dissatisfaction with Brian Schimming and his leadership. Where are they? Where is the GOP?
Yeah, I think the GOP is in very solid footing being Donald Trump's party. Whether you like that or whether you don't, President Trump is the face of the Republican Party right now. He is going to be the dominant factor, is going to be kind of controlling it. And to the degree that in this day and age, I believe that you are not aligned with him, his factions, and his beliefs, you are going to be looked at as an outlier whether you are or not. Once again, when it comes to ebbs and flows, that's going to change. I think you could easily argue, too, right now nationally, maybe even in the state of Wisconsin, the Democrat Party is leaderless. You know, and which is which? If you don't like Donald Trump but you're Republican, which is worse, to have a party being led by somebody you don't agree with, or by having a party that's completely leaderless and you maybe are going to have no say in mm-hmm. the process? So, but that comes and goes. That changes with both sides, and it's going to change. And those with the different held set of beliefs within their party system on both sides are going to see change coming in the future.
How do you wrestle with, passionate advocacy for, Democracy Defense Project, legitimacy of the votes and all of that, and then have the guy who's like the face of this election was stolen as the head of the party?
You know, I don't really wrestle with it for two reasons. First of all, I'm not trying to negate the success of President Trump. I think that the greater number of people who stayed home in the past and didn't vote because they thought their votes weren't being counted were the Republicans, because Donald Trump's the one who's been convincing them that their right. vote wasn't counting. So I truly believe that as part of this, I was helping him more than I was harming him, and Republicans should have some degree of gratefulness for that. On the flip side, those who don't, those who think that I'm an anti-Republican, I'm a traitor because I'm actually teaming up with Democrats to make some meaningful change, to them I say I really don't care, because I am not one of those people, and I wasn't when I was Attorney General either, who was going to do things to please a certain select group of partisans versus doing what I thought was right. And yeah. an example I'll give is, you know, I have a core set of Republican beliefs, and they're based on things that go way back in Republican platforms over the years.
We got about 10 seconds left.
Those are the things that dictate I'm a Republican, not the actual issues or positions I take on those issues.
Well, and I do have to say, you know, working with people on both sides of the aisle, I don't think I can think of anything more patriotic than to do something like that. So I appreciate what you're doing. Thank you for hanging out with us, former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen on the Rational Revolution. We'll be right back with my thoughts.
As Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's a party on the patio at the Lazy Oaf Lounge, and you're invited every Tuesday at 5:30. It's just Merle and a girl, and Thursdays on the patio feature singer-songwriter Shelly Faith.
Well, hey, bartender, won't you pour me another?
Music starts at 5:30. It's live music on the patio at the Lazy Oaf Lounge every Tuesday and Thursday. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Find specials, menus, and more at LazyOafLounge.com.
Hey, Gordy. How you doing?
Oh, Arthur. Great. Great to see you. What are you doing in the studio?
Well, I need to talk to you about doing a commercial.
Okay. Well, you know, to get a commercial on the air here, you just go down to the sales department. It's right next to the bathroom.
I don't think you understand.
Oh, I understand plenty. You salespeople drink a lot of coffee. That's why the bathroom's right there.
Right. But I need to have you make a commercial about commercials.
Wait. A commercial about a commercial? I don't follow.
I want to tell potential business owners out there how to contact me to get a commercial on WMDX.
Okay, I get it. Okay, let's come up with something. Let's see, business folks can contact you directly, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. What's the email, huh?
Okay, so it's sales@WMDXradio.com.
Oh, wait, run that by me again.
sales@WMDXradio.com. So we could put all that together and get into a commercial, get on the air soon?
Arthur, my friend, I think we just did.
Advertise on WMDX Radio. Email Arthur, sales@WMDXradio.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Voting Rights Lab reports there were 59 state bills introduced on proof of citizenship for voter registration this year, and 160 bills concerning voter ID. A handful have made it near the finish line, but not all have passed. Since President Donald Trump's baseless accusations of mail-in voting fraud in 2020 and his unfounded claims of widespread non-citizen voting in the 2024 election, Republican-dominated legislatures have raced to pass stricter voter ID and proof of citizenship laws, despite no widespread abuse of either. In New Hampshire, versions of SB 218 were advanced, requiring submission of ID and proof of citizenship for absentee registration, and are now in a committee of conference. In Texas, a high-priority documentary proof of citizenship bill died without action at the end of the session. In Texas alone, there were 15 bills introduced to provide documentary proof of citizenship and 10 tightening voter ID laws. Nevada Governor Joe Lombardo surprisingly vetoed a bipartisan voter ID bill attempting to codify a widely supported ballot initiative. Democrats negotiated expanded ballot drop boxes in exchange for supporting voter ID. His veto statement said the bill did not address implementing voter ID for mail-in ballots. Wyoming and Indiana passed proof of citizenship earlier this year. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
We sang every song that Javi knew. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose.
Welcome back.
Nothing, I mean nothing, honey.
Thanks for tuning in to the Rational Revolution. I am Mark Becker. That was former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen. That was an interesting discussion. And if you want to join the discussion, download that Civic Media app. You can select that favorite station. Talk to us. Text us. Get involved in the show. You can also like our page on Facebook. All the socials. We'd love to hear from you. I really would. I'm still a radio rookie at this. So, you know, if you have some feedback, hey, baby, give it to me. I have to say, I mean, I do know JB a little bit from my time in the Republican Party, and I am genuine when I say I admire what he's doing, you know, stepping outside of the comfort zone of your political party and working with others. That is great. It is admirable. I think it's awesome. I wish I had more time with him because I think we were just getting into that discussion of, you know, how do you wrestle with that? How do you go from we need to protect the sanctity of the elections? We need to have media that tells the truth. But then also on the other hand, say, hey, my party is the Republican Party and it's ran by Donald Trump and I'm okay with that. Like, how can both things be true? It's that is a place I cannot get to. I can't. You know, you can't both say I support election integrity and I support and I'm fighting for that on one hand. And then on the other hand, know that on January 6th, 2021, a violent mob stormed the U.S. Capitol attempting to overturn the results of a free and fair election. I don't know how one can get to that place. You know, the unprecedented attack on our democratic institutions was fueled by baseless claims that the election was stolen and it was propagated by Donald Trump, who's now the president again. And it was repeated by his allies in the Republican Party. Not just the little Republican, the whole freaking group. And if you had the nerve to tell the truth about it, a la Liz Cheney and our dear friend here, friend of the show, Adam Kinzinger, you're out. And the fact is, those falsehoods have not only undermined public confidence, but it's also led to tragic consequences, including the deaths of law enforcement officers and the injury of hundreds of people because of that guy. And I think to say that this is both sides, I mean, because like, I mean, on one side you have Hillary Clinton saying that the election was stolen. That was dumb. She shouldn't have said that. That was wrong. Stacey Abrams, you know, refusing to concede to Brian Kemp. He did some stuff, but the election wasn't stolen. I think there needs to be reforms, including a lot of the reforms that J.B. Van Hollen's talking about. Is there? That's true. But to say that we can both sides this thing, no chance in hell. That's not even in the realm of possibility. Because this very clearly is not a both sides thing. One side said, yeah, boy, that election with Donald Trump, I got more votes, but he still won. That's the rule. That's how elections work. But then the other side, we had dudes constructing, you know, gallows because they wanted to hang Mike Pence because the election was stolen. That's not the same thing. We can't look at this through that mirror and through that lens of, hey, we got problems on both sides of the aisle. I mean, if we want to have and really create change, we have to have a very, very frank, honest, pointed, flat-out discussion. They're the problem. That's true. That one side is saying, hey, voter ID sucks. The other side is killing people. Like, this is not the same thing. And, you know, I don't know. I really commend the Attorney General for doing that and joining the bipartisan discussion, because that's important. And like I talk about it all the time. This is not about left versus right. This is about right versus wrong. He's doing the right thing. But I don't know how you do the right thing and then also be like, ah, hey, you know, Donald Trump's the leader of the party. I think he said, what, lock, stock, and barrel. I'm Republican, lock, stock, and barrel. It's a place that I don't understand how we can get to, because we have to get to that place where we say we need to be better as a party. We need to be better. And I think he like skirted around there, which is like, I don't know, maybe some progress. But the fact is the path forward does require collaboration. I think electing moderate Republicans and moderate Democrats who prioritize the sanctity of the elections over partisan interests is important. And if we work together, yeah, we can have some common sense reforms that protect the integrity of the electoral system and ensure that every vote counts. You know, like we talked about, voter ID, it's not awful, and it's really helped. We have that. We got to say that because it has. And but on the other token, yeah, we should have more drop boxes. Yes, we should have more people allowed to vote. We should be able to make it easy for the right people to vote. And you know, my little not a conspiracy brain, but the sad thing is the fact that we don't have these laws allows Republicans to keep perpetuating this same stuff that they have been going on and on and on about for decades. And we got to do better. But join that conversation. Talk to us. Talk to them. Be friends. but keep pushing this narrative because this is important. This is so important. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thank you, JB Van Hollen, for your time. And tune in next week here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Mark Becker. See you later. Good enough for me and my Bobby.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Israel-Iran war is into its second week, and Iran's foreign minister, Abbas Araghchi, asked about any potential U.S. involvement, said,
"That would be very unfortunate, and I think that would be very, very dangerous for everybody."
He said Iran is willing to talk but would not negotiate with the U.S. as Israel continues military strikes. Meanwhile, President Trump's not decided if the U.S. will get involved. He is meeting with national security officials later today. Vice President J.D. Vance traveled to Los Angeles, where a legal fight continues in California over the Trump administration's use of federal troops to protect immigration enforcement officers in the state. The Palestinian activist Mahmoud Khalil, who was detained for more than 100 days, has been freed from a federal facility in Louisiana after he was granted bail. He's become a symbol of the president's clampdown on campus protests. Three people were killed in severe weather in Cass County, North Dakota. This is ABC News.